So in a crowded Starbucks in Studio City, California, I'm sitting here with Ali Smith and Marilyn Ann Michaels, the creators and stars of the hit TV show, The Best Friend. Hang on, am I right about that? Is it a TV show? Is it really a TV show?
It's a web series.
It's a web series.
Online television entertainment.
So it's a reduced TV show.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 222, The Best Friend.
I think it's time for you to leave. Princess,
good idea. I'm gonna go have sex with my fiance.
All right, bad chance. Virgin, bluesy, tease.
Hooker.
I'm not a hooker. I just have questionable judgment.
So in the last couple of podcast episodes, we've met and chatted with the guys who are currently touring Belgium and Holland in the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, Revised, and we'll hear from them from the road next week. But this week, I wanted to take a break from our tour hijinks and introduce you to a project that our own Dominic Conti has a very small, tiny, reduced hand in. The Best Friend is a web series created by and starring Marilyn Ann Michaels and Ali Smith, and it is funny, oddly poignant, very well acted, incredibly well produced and shot, and I'm not exactly sure how they do it. So I met up with Ali and Marilyn and tried to find out. Marilyn began by describing what The Best Friend is.
It's basically a romantic buddy comedy.
Okay.
Okay, we're mixing two genres already.
Yes.
A romantic buddy comedy where you see everything through the eyes of the best friend character instead of the ingenue. Okay. So we're just trying to twist kind of the romantic comedy stuff on its head, but really it's a buddy comedy between the two best friends.
And Marilyn, you play the best friend.
I play the best friend.
And Ali, you play the ingenue, the hot ingenue.
That's right, I play the hot ingenue. And there's no romance between Millie and Suze, let's just get that clear.
Wait, I thought we wanted
just in case.
I thought we wanted to drive. Don't we want to drive viewership? Don't we want to pretend that there's something going on?
We're trying to figure out some stunts, but we haven't quite figured it out.
Stunt casting. All right. Well, so let's talk about that right away. You guys have created parts for yourself,
mm-hmm.
and so you've typed yourselves.
We did, and we spent the year before that, before we started producing. We spent a year trying to figure out what are our most castable types.
Yeah.
Along with what are the types we really want to play.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm too old to play the best friend character. Maybe Ali is too smart to play the ingenue.
Nice save.
I don't know. But, you know, like, but what is our most castable type,
yeah,
along with what we'd really like to play? And then we started playing with that, and we created something based on this romantic comedy I tried to write years ago, and we went for it.
Well, and the tagline on the website says, "Don't you sometimes feel like you're the ugly friend?"
Yeah.
And that's you, Marilyn.
Yes. And it's funny because I do feel like that.
Do you?
I do, because Ali and I are roommates.
In real life?
In real life. And, you know,
Marilyn is clearly not the ugly friend.
Clearly, I'm sitting here going.
The idea is, you know, being the ugly friend is a state of mind.
Right. Yes. Right.
Right. And as much as I love myself, and as much as Millie, the character I play, loves herself, I think everybody gets in a weird state of mind once in a while where
right.
they think, oh, you know, I feel inferior right now, and this is the person I spend all of my time with. So, you know, I think it's universal.
Well, and it's cool, too, because the episodes, at least the episodes that I've seen, really investigate all these kind of little moments. They're not huge moments, although you turn them into huge dramatic moments. They're about these little feelings of self-image. And, I mean, that makes it sound really, already it makes it sound more highfalutin than it is. But you know, it is about those small personal things and relationship things.
Yeah, very much So it's, we wanted it to be, like I said, like, we wanted people to be able to relate to it. So that's why we, like, focused on the little things. Yeah. And we wanted every little moment, every episode is just a moment.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't want it to be some big, long, drawn-out thing. We wanted to focus on one thing and explore it.
And how,
thing we could.
And how long is each episode?
Most of them are under 5 minutes, and then we have, I think, two or three that are over six, barely.
Okay. And it's not just, I mean, I know that historically so many actors, when they create their own work or they make their own film, they go, you know what'll be cheap and easy is if we do it just in our own apartment. We'll shoot it in our own apartment. And you guys have done that, but, again, it seems like every episode has a musical moment, a song. Like, there's production and choreography and lighting and costumes and guest stars like the famous Dominic Conti, whom I'm sure we'll speak to later.
That's right.
So how did you go from, hey, let's make our own little series, it'll be so easy, just do it in an apartment, and then make it creatively, oh, and there'll be music, and there'll be makeup and lights and flashbacks and whatnot?
Well, we really wanted to push the envelope as far as web TV goes, because production values in a lot of web TV that you see out there are, you know, tend to be subpar. Not all of them. There's some really, really great ones out there. But
there's some really amazing stuff out there. But also, this was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a year ago, things were much different online than they are right now. Well, like, so many web series have come out now that are, like, such high production value.
Yeah.
And I've seen things that have a lot of studio backing or a big star that have a lot of resources. But you guys aren't big stars. I don't know what kind of backing you have, but
we just wanted to create something that we would be 5,000,000% proud of excited about and proud to look back on and say, you know, that's our baby, you know? And so we just, to the very best of our abilities and all of the extremely talented friends that we have and talented people that were excited about it, that wanted to get involved, we thought, why not make it as great as it can be?
Well, talk a little bit then about your backgrounds as actors, and have you always been writers? Have you always been web content producers? Have you always been composers, singers, this kind of thing?
Allie, web content producing for me was definitely a new thing.
Uh-huh.
Writing was pretty new for me. Marilyn really challenged me and brought that out in me, which I'm very appreciative of her for that. And, you know, as far as background goes with acting, and, you know, I've just always done it all my life. I mean, I studied at Second City in Chicago. Marilyn and I did a play together in Chicago. We met each other doing that. My background is not all that exciting.
No, it's very exciting. Allie's background is she's been doing theater and or film for a long time, and she's been always playing roles that were appropriate to her, always cast really well, she's done some really great work, and, you know, never saw herself outside of the actor thing. Uh-huh. And I think now she can really appreciate doing the other things, even though really what Allie is an actress, and she should be working all the time. So if you're out there and can be casting people, you should be casting her.
So on the top of everything else, you're a press agent as well, Marilyn.
Yes, she's very.
Well, I used to be in marketing.
And you have web skills. You're a web designer, aren't you?
Well, I do some web stuff, but, you know, it's usually something I just do for free for friends, you know, to help
Marilyn
them out.
Marilyn is full of skills.
Mad skills, says the kids.
Skills girl.
Yeah.
So were you a composer? Were you a singer?
I've always, my mom even told me one time, she's like, I know you think you want to be an actor, but I think you really want to be a singer. I think you really want to be in a band and up on stage. And sure, but I don't want to be the singer who can't play a guitar or the harmonica or something. And right now I can't play anything. I can play an E power chord, and that's about it. So, but I've always written lyrics. I have, like, diaries full of lyrics and things, you know, which I totally took advantage of during this series. But, no, I've been acting forever. You know, I've been alive for a while, and you know, I've always been writing too, even though, again, my mom is a writer. Okay. And so I said, I will never be a writer. That's not what I'm going to be. Because that's what my mom does. And then one day I woke up and that's all I could think about is I just wanted to sit in my room in a hole and write. You know?
And it's a little like the Renew Shakespeare Company. I mean, we bring it, everything that you are, everything you have ever done, you bring to the project at hand, particularly one that you guys have created and are running.
You're delusional. What did you wish for?
What?
When you smiled like a devil and blew out your candles, what did you wish for?
I wish for a man. He doesn't have to be handsome, but he has good teeth and never asks for a threesome. He reads me Ulysses while we snuggle in bed, and though he's a genius, he doesn't hold it over my head.
You wish for it all, the fairy tale and then some. You compensate for your insecurities by thinking all blondes are dumb. You wish my hair to be green and my figure to be stout. You're jealous of me, that's what this is about.
Oh, I wished for,
you wish for
the same thing I wished for every year of my life.
An artist, one of my friends,
not misogynist
to make you his domestic.
Hi, I'm Sarah, also known as Rabid Psycho, on the RSC chat page, and I've been a fan of the RSC since March 2003, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Well, you can see us in Belgium and Holland, in Virginia, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New York, Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, San Jose, California, and the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. And in May and June of this year, 2011, we'll perform our very first national tour of New Zealand. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific venue and ticket information, although the San Jose and Kennedy Center dates might not be posted yet. And particularly, if you listen to the podcast several weeks past the day that it is posted, you want to get that newsletter so you can get the very latest information. All right, so we talked about the whys. Talk about the hows. You said this is based on an old screenplay or idea for a screenplay that you'd had. But then, okay, fine, so you guys write a script. But then, where do you find the money? Where do you find the backing? Where do you find the photographers, the choreographers? Where do you get all the help? How did you make that all happen?
Well, first of all, I'm really glad that you thought we had a choreographer.
But even if it's blocking, you've got to think of it and come up with it. Yeah.
Well, we decided right away from the beginning that we wanted to have a director and not just direct ourselves. So we had directors for every episode.
Okay.
We did different directors because we wanted to run it like a TV show, not like an independent film.
Mm-hmm.
So we chose different directors based on the different episodes.
But that's even harder. You've got to find more help, more people.
I know.
We make things so hard on ourselves.
But for us, it's totally worth it because then we get to work with these different directors who have different styles, and as actors, that's invaluable, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and is anybody being paid for this?
You know, so rude to ask that. Pretty much no. But
so the directors are all doing it for free. All their friends are.
Nobody's doing anything for upfront pay.
Yeah.
But if we have yet to make any money from the series, but if we start to do that, if we start to make money, we're trying to figure out a point system or some way where we can pay it backward.
Right.
Or whatever. Right. Pay it backward. Right.
In the moments of the actual production, in our shoot days, we actually a lot of our budget went to feeding people, feeding them well, like finding out, you know, what does our DP like to drink, and making sure
and
that the fridge is stocked with
making sure that he's drunk at all times. So
well,
smart.
She. Yeah, we really tried to have a mostly female crew, so. Yeah. That's actually funny.
Very gynocentric. Love it.
Yes. Female-driven series, female-driven content.
How do you entice people? Hey, come work for possible points down the line on this really interesting thing.
A lot of it was the scripts.
Yeah.
You know, our fabulous, fabulous editor from, you know, Red. We met with her, and she, just like any, like, industry professional, like, they want to read the material before they commit and sign on. And she had seen some of our work, and she read the episodes, and she was just like, sign me up. Like, nobody was on our set or working with us that was not excited about the story, excited about the concept, loved the scripts, loved the writing, loved us, you know.
How long did it take you to
say that, right?
Yeah, you can say that.
How long, we were very lucky.
How long did it take you to write the scripts?
We took 3 months where every, during a 3-month process, we met with someone who ended up being our executive producer, who's amazing. His name is Michael Elias. And he met with us once a week for 3 months and would sit down and listen to us read these scripts to him. And then he would tell, his job was to tell us, that's not funny, or you really need to go here, and he'd offer other ideas. So he was just, completely instrumental in helping us, like, get the arc of the story. And he's been in TV for a long time. He's done amazing, wonderful things, and he has a really good idea for what a story arc is.
Right.
And it was so much fun sitting, you know.
Well, and he clearly believes in you guys, because he's not going, wow, I can make a lot of money off of these girls.
Yeah, there's another example of someone that just got excited, you know. And we've been very, very lucky with that, because, you know, anytime, again, going back to, you know, there was no upfront pay involved, which pretty much in a lot of, like, in the indie world and in web TV tends to be the case. And what did you call it? You called it something so brilliant,
the dangling, hopeful, metaphorical carrot. I don't know, something like that.
Of deferred payment. It's just
deferred payment is almost, you know, insulting these days, right?
Yeah,
I'd almost rather not even be offered the deferred payment.
Yeah.
But we have decided that if and when we can do a second season, we don't want to do deferred payment. We don't want to do anything unless we can pay everybody up front.
Okay.
So we're looking for sponsors and doing that kind of thing for next season.
And you are aligned with, I'm not even sure if I know how to ask the question. You're aligned with a channel, an online channel of web series? Is that right? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, the Coldcast TV. We sent out a press release the day before our pilot episode went out to a couple of channels that we liked, and we heard back right away from Coldcast, and they were interested, and we're like, okay.
And do they, so they host it?
Yes.
They host it.
They host it, and we embed their player on our website. We signed a 6-month non-exclusive contract with them where basically we have an embedded player, and they're out there doing marketing for us, which is one of the reasons we really loved Coldcast, is because they do so much marketing for their series.
And they sell ads on their website?
I'm not sure how they make money, but you could have a choice of whether or not you were going to do pre-roll ads, like, in front of your web series. And in the beginning, we were talking with Coldcast and everything. We decided maybe it wasn't worth it to do it.
Yeah.
So we didn't do pre-roll ads in the beginning. And then somewhere along the line, we started doing pre-roll ads. But it's really, you know, we haven't made any money from it yet. But we spent the first months and months and months just producing.
Right.
And now our job is to get out there and build an audience and see who, if there is an audience, right? If there's an audience for that online.
Well, and it's a brave new world, too. I mean, there's online content. Nobody really knows still how anybody's going to make any money off of it. And you guys are on Facebook and Twitter, and you have your own website, and there is fun in watching the series like a quote-unquote real TV show, where every week there's a new episode come out, and, you know, what are the adventures of? But as we were talking about before we went on the air, about DVD, watching DVD's entire seasons, you now have, what is it, your entire first season is completed. So you can watch, you can go online now and watch the whole series and get a sense of the whole series as a whole, rather than, do you
it's
find...
It's actually a really good way to watch it, actually.
Yeah.
They're all such little, they're little maxi episodes, you know, they're 5 minutes, with the exception of, like, the more 6-ish minute ones, but it's like, what does it come out to, like, under 40 minutes?
Yeah, it's under 40 minutes for the whole first season, which is barely over, like, maybe twice what a TV sitcom pilot would be, right?
Right.
You know, with commercials and everything, so...
And is there an overarching plot of the first season?
There is a plot. There is an arc. you know, but we spend most of the time on the, like, what would normally be in the first 10 pages of a screenplay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's most of the season. And then we, like, pull in the arc and we start having some conflict and stuff. But
and there are recurring characters. There are the guy, your other friends, guys you date, neighbors, landlords, mothers, etc.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Exactly.
And do you, what are your plans for the second season? Or are there plans for the second season?
The plan right now is to build an audience.
Okay.
And honestly, like, we both have very full lives. We have a lot going on. We have a lot of projects kind of under our belt. So if we can't prove that we have an audience for this, if maybe no matter how wonderful it is and no matter how proud we are of it, if it's not something that people are going to watch online, then we're going to move on to another project.
Yeah.
But if we can prove that we have an audience, then we would love to produce a second season and get funding for that.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your web series via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews at our podcast page on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, hot ingenue Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Emily Pye. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to other random fans, Sarah Rabbit, Psycho Wilkinson, and to Allie and Marilyn. Check out The Best Friend on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, or at their website, thebestfriend.tv. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 222-666th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
It's also very important to us to showcase other talents. We have, you know, wonderful friends like Dominic Conti.
Dominic Conti, the tall, skinny, silent Svengali, who's really, who's the mastermind behind all this. Am I right, Dom?
Yes, I've been mostly silent up to this point, but clearly it's time for me to rise up and speak.
Because I don't think you've gotten enough credit yet.
Oh, no, this is all my game. This is all my thing. There are but puppets dancing on my strings.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less.